Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for you tonight. Thank you for speaking to us and giving us your word. Change us, Lord. Change us tonight. That we think differently, we act differently, and we're closer to you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm excited about the lesson tonight because the Lord's been dealing with me for several days personally. So, of course, I let it spill out onto y'all.
Don't we all do that?
What are you thinking about? I'm thinking about the things God is correcting in my life, and so perhaps you don't have this issue, but maybe you'll listen and I'll get, you know, when you do the talking, you learn more. So perhaps I'll learn more as I'm talking to y'all. But I wanted to start with a really basic concept, and that is well, if I were titling this message, I would title it, Who's in Charge? And so if you'll look at your piece of paper, and if you'll open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, or open your phones or whatever you're using, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. It's a very well-known scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. And Lord, help me to say all these things the way you want them said. Meredith, would you read that for us, please?
I sure will. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. So we use the scripture and what it says to indicate that man is a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. And when I look in the mirror, I just see a one being. But we believe by faith that we are a three-part being. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And when John gets it, he's going to read it for us, I believe. Genesis chapter 1. Of course, this whole chapter is creation of the world, the earth, the world, and man, and all that's in it. 1:26, please.
Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.
Amen. So it says God made man in his image, in his likeness. And I used to think we are a three-part being, and so I would think God the Father is the one part, God the Son is second part, God the Holy Spirit is the third part. I was wrong. I needed to learn more. Each of them, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, each of them are a three-part being, except I don't believe the Holy Spirit has a body. But so what do I mean when I say three parts? Well, I wrote them in these little circles. Spirit, soul, body, just like 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 said. Now, diagram is a picture of Adam and Eve. Oh, I put even. I didn't mean to change her name. It was a typo, okay? Adam and Eve, when they were created. Oh, thank you so much. We appreciate that. Oh, good.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And their spirit was perfect. Their soul was perfect. Their body was perfect. And when we say soul, we usually mean your mind, your decision-making area, your will, you know, that part of you, and your emotions. They're all kind of in that soul area, mind, will, and emotions. And your body, of course, we know what that is, and your spirit. So when they were created, their spirit was in connection with God. It was alive to God. Their soul, I mean, they had great intellect, their minds, and their emotions were in control, and no hormonal changes. They were perfect. They were great. Well, it says in Genesis chapter 2, Meredith, verse 17, if you read that verse for us, please. 2:17.
But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.
Amen. And I've heard it taught that Hebrew, surely die, is just an emphasis on the word die. You'll die. And we know in chapter 3 that Satan, in the form of a serpent, deceived Eve, and she ate, and she gave some to her husband, and he ate. And they died. So I want you to take your pen. This is a picture of Adam and Eve, not even, after they sinned, and I want you to put an X or a black mark over the circle that's the spirit. Their spirit died. Their spirit died. They don't have a spirit that's alive. Now, that doesn't mean it fell out of them or something, but it means it was dead to God. It could not, their spirit could not communicate with God any longer. If God couldn't communicate with them, we now have a sin barrier. And you could even draw a line, a perpendicular line between the spirit circle and the soul circle, because now we have a wall of sin that is separating them from God. Amen? Their body's still theirs. Their mind, will, and emotions, everything's limited now because they are no longer God. They're limited. It's a bad thing. And I was thinking about this, and I thought, Satan knew it was so important to get Adam to sin and Eve to sin. Because if only one of them had eaten that fruit and sinned, then God could have taken the other and started over. But see, Adam sinned, he ate. Eve sinned, she ate. So they both sinned, and because of that, all of their descendants were born in the second picture with a dead spirit. We all know this. I know we're going over it again, but I'm trying to follow the Lord. Now, we need Romans 3:10, John, when you get that, if you read it to us. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. This is going to be a picture of all humans when they're born. Even the cutest little babies.
It is written, there is none righteous, no, not one.
No one is born righteous. Sometimes we're taught that we're unrighteous because of what we do. Now, a baby hasn't done anything. They haven't done good, they haven't done evil, but they're born unrighteous. They're born dead in their spirits, just like Adam and Eve became dead in their spirits. And so Jesus said, God and Jesus, they made a plan, and they said, we're going to redeem man back. We're going to make man's spirit alive again. Make man's spirit alive. And so here's what God said. The only way we can make man's spirit alive again is if he's born again. And let's see, let's turn that mirror to John 3:7, please. John 3:7. Because there's hope. You're born dead, but there's hope. There's hope. John chapter 3, verse 7.
Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again.
You must be born again. Now, when you're born again, no longer is there an X. I'm looking at the bottom diagram. No longer is there an X on your spirit, because your spirit is now alive. Your spirit has come alive. So we've got alive, dead, dead, alive. Amen. Cool, right? Your spirit is alive. Now, that's not the only change. When your spirit is alive, that means you can hear God. You can talk to God. You can start acting like God. But these other parts of us that were affected, they've got to be changed. So, John, if you'll read Romans 12:1, please. Let's talk about our body. Our body did not have the influence of God, and so our body gets old, it dies. If you make it to 70, then you're doing good. You have old age comes on, your muscles break down, your cells break down, the organs in your body get weak, your legs, your feet weak, your ability to think and make decisions, you get old. And what can we do about that? Let's read Romans 12:1.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God.
Okay.
Which is your reasonable service.
Stop right there. So, since we're now alive, we can, our bodies can be alive. How are they alive? By sacrificing. Now that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. To sacrifice means to kill something or to put it in subjection. But we can sacrifice our body and it can live, as God asked, 120 years. Now, the reason I titled this message, Who's in Charge, is because it's important to know that your spirit, the born-again man, born-again woman, their spirit is in charge. The spirit, the you that's your spirit is in charge, and the you that's your spirit will never die, whether it lives in heaven forever, or, like this person, or not, or punishment forever. But that spirit will never die. And so God says your spirit is supposed to be in charge. That's where God talks to you. The Holy Spirit lives within your spirit. That's where all the change comes, all that comes. Well, what does that mean to your body? Your body can have a great life if it's subjected to your spirit. Now, some people, I guess this is one of the places I got corrected. Some people, they let their body be in charge. My body says I'm hungry. My body says I'm cold. My body says I'm hot. My body says I want to sleep. My body says whatever. I don't like sitting in the back seat. I don't know. And so it's up to come in subjection to our spirit. Come in, come in. We've got cookies and water and napkins and I don't know what. Praise the Lord. Let's see, and here are some papers. And here are some things. So we're talking about who's in charge is actually the title here. Who's in charge? Praise the Lord. So just to catch you up real quick, the top diagram is a picture of Adam and Eve. I made a typo. It's not even.
It's Adam and Eve.
My fingers went on the leaf.
You would love it.
She would leave it at that point. But anyway,
just to be clear, I got numbers. You're like, why would I like that?
I know. I thought it was women's liver.
Number Adam and Eve on two.
Okay, well, the typo is mine. So.
Thank you.
So Adam and Eve were perfect in spirit, in soul, and body. Then the second diagram is a picture of Adam and Eve after they sinned. And if you'll put an X over the spirit circle, because their spirit died. That's what God said. Their spirit, and this one, their spirit died. And they were separated from God. And it affected their soul, and it affected their body. The third picture is a picture of all humans at birth. No matter how cute and how sweet and how nice they smell, there's, and we read that scripture, there's none righteous, no, not one. So again, the spirit is dead. But God made a way. Here's a picture of someone who's been born again. Their spirit's alive, and their souls and bodies can be better. Now, here's the crux of the teaching is, who's in charge? There are sometimes our body decides to be in charge. Our body says I'm hungry. Our body says I'm cold. Our body says I'm uncomfortable. And so it's up to us to discipline our body, to sacrifice our body. It's got to know that it's not in charge. Well, how can we do that? Any suggestions?
When it wants that snack late at night, it wants that cookie.
You
just tell it no. I'm not going to eat that.
Speak to it, right? Speak to it. What else? Any other suggestions?
When your body wants to show signs of sickness, speak to it.
No, do.
Act as if you're, as if you don't feel sick. Do something that you.
Good. In Romans, it talks about not making provisions for the flesh.
That's a good verse too.
Not have cookies.
Right.
Yeah, so as an example.
Because I don't know if it's the same scripture I was thinking of where it says don't use it as an occasion to the flesh. But yeah, that's probably the same.
Galatians. And now I think about it.
Pretty sure.
I was just going to say that I know that when my back hurts a lot, when it starts hurting, I said, just what we always say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I feel that right now. But by Jesus Christ, I was healed, and I'm not taking it.
Amen.
So you get away from me, Satan, in Jesus' name. Or any other thing. I come over it right then and almost get violent with it sometimes. You are not, no disease or sickness shall ever live in my our bodies. It never comes in. If it tries to, it dies. But because I go back.
When we ask the blessing, he says that every day.
See, this is very good. This is wonderful. This is what we believe. I know when I first started hearing these things, the kids were littler. And so if they did not want to wear a coat to school, I said, that's fine. In the dead of winter, if they wanted to wear shorts, I said, that's fine. Because I did not want them subject to the weather.
Yeah.
Of course, everybody thought I was a terrible parent. But I didn't care about that. What I cared about is that they were not subject to their body. Right? You're going to eat when I say, I'm talking to myself, body. You're going to eat when I say. And you're going to eat what I say. And you're going to do what you're going to exercise when I say, and what it's my job to police or to discipline or to organize my body. That's my job. And so if somebody comes up to me, people that don't know these things, and they'll make some kind of comment, I'm probably not very sympathetic. I try not to say anything ugly. But I can tell by their conversation, they either don't know or have not, for whatever reason, discipline their body. Their body's in charge. Their body tells them what to do. Their body tells them how they're going to do it. And you know, I have a lot of food ideas that are not godly. I don't want to eat something that feels funny in my mouth, even if God told me to. I mean, it's a struggle to obey God in these things because I have such a thing. I don't want to eat anything I haven't eaten before. So that's kind of limiting, you know.
I agree. Causing you make me mad. So you only eat what you ate before.
Well, I mean, I've already digested that part. But
the thing about it is there's a lot you eat. That's quite a variety.
Started small. But I mean, this is just an example. You know, I can't eat that. I won't eat that. And I'm not the only one that has these feelings, y'all. I'm not going to wear that because it makes me look fat or makes me look skinny, makes me look poor, makes me look rich, whatever. I mean, all of these things. Jesus said, take no thought of what you're to eat or drink or wear. That's what the heathen think about. You discipline your body. You be in charge of your body. Okay, we have developed that enough, I think. Let's move over to soul. I'm a soul man. Well, they usually are, too. And we talked earlier, the soul is made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions. And so let's read. We need some more reading here. We're going to read Romans 12, 2. Nancy, when you get that. Romans 12, 2.
That's the I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God.
I already did verse 1. That's what you're
putting. That's what I'm saying.
And let's go to verse 2. Please. Sorry. We're moving off of the body trying to be in charge. We've already said with our mouths that it won't be. So let's move to our soul.
And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Stop. So, the body has to be what? What does Romans chapter 1 say? It has to be crucified or sacrificed. The mind has to be not sacrificed, but transformed or changed or trained. Amen? Okay. Would you start at the beginning of verse 2 again, please, Nancy, and read to the end of verse 2?
Yes. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen. Amen. So our spirit is in charge of our body, and our spirit is in charge of our soul. Now, our spirit is not necessarily, it doesn't necessarily know everything, but our spirit is in contact. And so in my own self, I might not know what to eat, or I might not know what to think, but I am connected to the one who does. I'm connected to the Holy Spirit, who is, of course, connected to the Father and Jesus. So I have all of God and all of heaven that I can access. Let's say I don't know that much that's written in here. That's no excuse, because I have a straight line to the Father. You know, I don't have to pull out letters John has written me. I just go straight and ask him. Right? I don't have to go back to text. What did John say about? What was that text about? Flirt with other men. Let me find it. See, I don't have to do that. If I had a question like that, if I wasn't convinced, I could go straight to him. Praise the Lord. Thank you for letting me use that example. We'll talk later, right? Everything we think. But then I had to move to the place of not thinking every thought that comes along. I'll have a thought about the kids, about the grandkids, about the ministry, about my husband, about food. I have, you know, we all have thoughts all the time. And I have learned a lot better to say, no, that's not what I want to think about. I'm not going to think about that. And so my mind has become more subjected to my spirit, more disciplined. My emotions, they've had to come through the fire, honey. No longer can I fly off the handle. No longer can I be a diva. No longer can I express my opinion all the time. Maybe not any of the time, but I'm not there yet. So,
is that for you more to be vocal?
Yes. Your spirit can come in.
Exactly. Let the spirit control and not be letting your mind control you. You know, that's a big almost a religion to train your mind. Okay, the mind is not number one. It's not top dog. It's good. It's important. It needs to be trained. But number one is the spirit. So your spirit should tell your mind what to think and what not to think. And if you're lying in bed and you start thinking about something that isn't quite right, it's your job to say no. Not only am I not going to think about that, I am going to think about the goodness of God. I am. I choose. Amen. And so that's our mind. Then our will, you know, my will has to come under subjection. Let's read another scripture. Brother Philip, Romans 7. Well, this is kind of a long passage, and you've got your New Living, don't you? That's good. Can you read 7 all the way to the end of the chapter? It's kind of a long reading.
Thanks for the presence.
What's the first one?
14.
So 14 through
the rest of the chapter. Please. Okay.
Okay. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me. For I am. The trouble is with me. For I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin.
And go ahead and read verse 1 of chapter 8, please.
So now there is no condemnation.
Hallelujah.
That's it. For those who belong to Christ Jesus.
See, this is so wonderful. Even Paul said, I want to do right, but I find myself doing wrong. The things I hate doing, I end up doing. And the things I want to do, seems like I don't do. So he's talking about this very thing of subjecting our mind, our will, and our emotions to God's way. Amen? It's a process. You don't wake up doing it. I've received Jesus as my Savior, and now everything is fixed. No, as Nancy read, our minds have to be conformed or transformed or changed. And that is a process. That is a, you know, I think this thought, no. I want this, no. And thank God I didn't have addictions like alcohol or tobacco that I had to fight so strenuously, or even drugs that I had to fight so strenuously. But I had other habits already ingrained. You know, one habit is criticism. Judgment, like we heard last week. Oh my goodness. It's a habit, and it's what I don't want to do, but I end up doing because it's such a habit. So who stops it? Me, my spirit. My spirit has to say, stop. Really? Thank God the Holy Spirit is in there telling my spirit, you're getting in trouble, going the wrong way, stop doing that. Amen. So I guess the point of what I'm trying to say tonight to you, with the same fervor that I heard from the Holy Spirit, is wake up, discipline yourself, meaning your body, your mind, will, and emotions, and the next wonderful part of the sermon is take authority. Take authority over your body. Take authority over your mind. Take authority over your will. Take authority over your emotions. And you know, there were times in my life as a woman, I had a lot of hormonal ups and downs. And it's easy to say, I can't help it. Excuse me. If you couldn't help it, it would say in here, there's an except. And it does not say.
Don't even try to do anything about that.
Lord, you know. And he says, yes, I do. Discipline yourself. Take authority over your body. And then if you walk into a room and everybody sneezes, Lord, it wasn't my fault. Right? First of all, we have to understand that this is our responsibility. This, take ownership. One way is just don't go in a room where everybody's sneezing. But sometimes you end up there and you didn't mean to. Now what? Take authority over that spirit of sickness, spirit of disease, spirit of sin. I mean, you can be sitting in a group and everybody's criticizing everything in the world and you just want to jump right on in and be part of it.
Yes.
No, no. You might have to get up from the table and walk away. You must do it. Now, why am I saying this? Because I want you to follow rules? No. I'm saying this because this is the way to a good life. The habits we have are not the way to a good life. God's not going to punish us. I'm not trying to say that. Our sins are forgiven. But I'm saying if you want the good life God has for you, if you want to step into ministry, and everybody in here is called to ministry. Well, we can only step a little bit until these things get under control. Case in point, some people that I know a little bit joined a church, and one of the ministers said or did something that they didn't think a minister should say or do. That minister didn't have all this. He wasn't very good. You know, you notice the things you're doing good. You notice them if it's a weakness in someone else. Oh, I've got that in control, but y'all don't. You know, whoops, back to judgment, back to criticism, back to condemnation. So anyway, so they left that church. We had some other people in our church, and I think maybe there were some things that they felt didn't fit with their beliefs. And you're going to have that, but what I'm saying is make sure your spirit is in charge, and then you can take authority, right? When a robber comes knocking at your door, it's not your body. It's not your body that's going to win. It's not your soul that's going to win. It's your spirit, yes, working through your body, yes, working through your soul. But your spirit has to be in charge. Your spirit is the part of you that takes authority. Takes authority. Okay, we need to pay our bills, or we're wanting to make a large purchase. We want to get a new air conditioner for the outside unit for our house. We don't need it right now, but there'll be a time we will need it, so we're saving that money, right? Well, I want to save faster. Thank you, Jesus. All of our bills are paid every month. But I want to save up faster. How? Take authority. And then obey the Lord. If he says, sow more seed into the kingdom of God, then do it. You know, he has his ways. But I've got to be willing to obey. Which part of me is going to obey? My spirit. And my spirit has to make my soul obey and make my body obey. Y'all act like you have this so in control. But you're praying for me, so I'm okay. Like John says, don't say anything, don't look at your neighbors.
Yeah, I think we're just not saying it. We're like...
Somebody was talking to me once about the elbow ministry.
Yeah.
What is that? That's when you hear something that's...
The spouse into the
Well, anyway, that elbow ministry.
I told Will Atkins.
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 Well, and you might say, what is this? Stop meddling. I'm going to keep meddling until we get to the place God has called us to be. We are the leaders of these two churches. And God has a destiny for these churches. God has a plan. God wants us to push on and move on.
Yes, yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Not for some kind of reputation, but Acts 10:38, Jesus, of course I could quote it until I said that, and destroying the works, healing all that were sick, and destroying the works of the devil. Amen. For this purpose, I got it. For this purpose, no, that's 1 John chapter 3. For this purpose was the Son of Man manifest to destroy the works of the devil. So there's two places that tells why Jesus came, and we are in his image. So we say, oh good, I'm a joint heir. I got all the riches of heaven. I got all I want. I got help. I got friends. I got, woo me, yay me. There's a responsibility. If you're joint heir with Jesus, you have the same call in your life that Jesus had in his life on the earth, to destroy the works of the devil. How do you do it? You take authority. And the first place you take authority is your soul and your body. Amen.
What does it say? He that rules over his own spirit is greater than someone that rules a city.
Yes. And then James said, rule your own tongue.
Right, right. Better than the...
Right.
Any strong.
Well, that was the sermon for today.
You know, I have a testimony after I taught that last week. And so last night, George and I went to the movies. And there was a family sitting behind us. Lord, you love them and I do too. And it was this dad and his little boy, probably about Joseph's age. The whole movie. Son was talking to the whole movie. They would repeat the dialogue after every single thing. And by the end of it, I was just like realizing I was just laughing at them. Like in theory, I was thinking about it. Yeah, that was rude, you know, to everyone in the theater. I'm thinking about it on the way home. I'm like, I really wasn't, you know.
Thank you, Jesus.
Didn't have that.
You passed the test.
Yes. That's the only thing you are.
So just turn around, look at him.
You passed the test.
Thank you, Steve.
That's right.
Like, I just chuckled whenever I would notice it, you know? Like, thank you, Lord. That is just real.
Hallelujah.
God, you just realized that there weren't trying to be mean. They were just.
Yeah.
No, where the in somebody else's room. They used to bond me a lot, but God had to work with me. Because, you know, you like you're trying to buy something at the register, and they interrupt the...
Oh, I know they're...
Wait,
they're
wait 2 seconds.
One time I had to take myself, put back your basket. Go ahead.
We all have these options. Possibilities. But I like to celebrate, like you're saying, I like to celebrate when we pass.
Yeah.
We pass our tests.
Yes.
We pass these tests.
And it wasn't like a, you know, let me pat myself on the back. Right. It was just like, praise
God.
Thank you, Lord.
Right. I'm different.
Exactly. You're changing me.
I know. That is such. And in myself, I see victory. It's not total victory, but it's like, at least I don't stay mad as long as I used to.
You can let it go.
Well, I need to go to work every morning. Oh, it's a test. And I've learned that when somebody will come around, they'll cut you off, and I'll say, I'll feel myself just, it's starting to raise up like this, and I go, just feel that coming up in you. Back off of it.
That's the way I mean the Lord.
Launch sequence initiates. No, go way down.
Good, prepared. That's good. The launch sequence.
Can I pour water for anybody else?
Yes, please.
Lord gave me one. When they do that, say, Lord, thank you. You let me be part of your blessing.
I think it was because you had said that once. The Lord brought that to me the other day. I was like, the Lord used me to keep them protected too.
Well, thank you, Lord, for letting me be part of their blessing.
Yeah. That's right.
And that really cleansed me.
Sorry, Pastor.
No, I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying hearing y'all talk about your own struggles.
Yes, we were convicted a few minutes ago. Make sure you're ready to talk to
And what is so wonderful? He is changing us. How does he change us? We have to let him. We have to discipline ourselves to let him.
Because it really is so easy to let whatever it is just lying for myself, and I just fly out of my mouth. It's like, I repent, Lord. And then the next time, it's like a little bit, you know, it's a little bit quicker, a little bit quicker, a little bit quicker to not say something.
Yes. The Lord is speaking to me just now. He said, I know I've said this before, the washing of the water of the Word, but he just said to me, you have to be to that washing.
True.
That's it. Because when he corrects you about something, you say, I'm not going to give that up. No, you say, I repent, Lord. You say, you got a humble heart, you say, I repent real quick. You repent. And you confess it as sin, and it just affects or cleanse you. So that he immediately opens the door, and that faith opens the door for him to cleanse you. And you pick up less and less and less, and it's gone.
So what we're saying is,
got to
be willing to get in the bathtub and be washed.
That's right. That's it.
Well, let's pray together. Let's hold hands. John, do you have a prayer?
Mm-hmm.
Meredith, do you have a prayer? Nancy, do you have a prayer?
Yes. Father, we praise you and bless you and honor you. We are so privileged to know you. Thank you for what you've done for us, Lord. Thank you for all that you do for us every day and every moment that we so often do not even recognize nor acknowledge. But we're grateful, Lord, for the protection, for the provision, for the leadership, for the guidance, for the hugs that you give us, Lord, for the encouragement of the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that we have your authority and that demons are subject to your authority. Thank you for that privilege, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can use it in our own lives, but we can also use it for others and toward others, Lord, and make a difference. Thank you, Father, for all the divine appointments that come to us. Help us, Father God, to hear you and to obey what you tell us to do concerning these, Lord. Thank you for our church. Thank you for our pastors, Father. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. We worship you and we honor you, Lord. We thank you for our nation. We thank you that it is a Christian nation, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you have filled our president with the Holy Spirit. And he has protected his family, his vice president, his cabinet, the Senate, the House of Representatives, the judiciary. Lord, all the offices, all the support staff, Father. I just ask, Lord, Philip and I have been praying, Lord, that
to the Senate when they're in session, and to the House of Representatives when they're in session, and just say, President Trump is my choice. I've anointed him.
That's right.
I've anointed him. He is doing my will. So pray for him and stop coming against him. Because if you come against him, you're coming against God. You're coming against the plan of the Father, who loves this nation and wants the best for this nation. Because many have gone forth hating this nation, wanting this nation to be like other nations, but it is unlike other nations. It's the nation that is chosen, the Father, and it exists because of its love toward God. Because the Lord said through someone, Father, that you chose Israel, but the United States of America, our forefathers, chose you and developed a nation because of that. So we give you praise. We give you honor, Lord. Thank you for the privilege. We have an awesome privilege. We have an awesome responsibility, but we have awesome grace to do it. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that just as the Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, they were 10 times better than the other people that they were associated with, the leaders, the advisors that they were associated with. And Lord, because of your spirit in us, we just claim that, Lord. Your spirit develops us. We have the light and the life. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, the same Spirit that raised him from the dead is the same Spirit in us. And we just thank you that we can be what you want us to be, not because we're special, but because the Holy Spirit. And thank you, Lord, that the Word does wash us and teach us and guide us in everything. We bless you. We love you, sir. And we honor you. We worship you, Lord. And we just continue to declare 5 billion souls coming into the kingdom of God. Five, that's with a B. 5 billion souls, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for the thousands that, it's not in the news, but thank you that we get to hear it from time to time of the thousands of people that are coming to you. And we just worship you and honor you, Lord. And as we pray, we just, again, as Pastor Elizabeth said a minute ago, that we would sow or do whatever you tell us to do to cooperate with you, and because nothing is impossible to you. So we worship you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you paid off our homes. Yes. You promised us that through Pastor John some time ago, and we continue to stand on that and believe that, Father. Hallelujah. We worship you. We honor you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise you, praise you.